Thank you, Willie, and I'm happy that you understand RTAs better, because I myself am still trying to fully grasp what they mean and what they, how they impact everything that we do. First of all, thank you for being here. I'm very, very pleased to be talking to you about RTAs and all the cross-cutting issues, I think, that they give rise to. Like I said, it's an extremely important aspect of global governance and trade, although it is not really a new phenomenon. RTAs have been there quite a while. In fact, they predate the multilateral trading system, because at the end of the day, the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, was essentially based on the bilateral agreements and the network of agreements that existed at that time as reciprocal agreements that had been pursued in the previous years. So the system, as we know today, our system as we know today, has roots in these agreements, in these bilateral agreements. And, of course, in creating the multilateral trading system itself, the negotiators made sure that there would be room for new agreements, for new bilateral agreements or new regional agreements. And the WTO rules, the GATT rules and now the WTO rules, they all have very specific rules which provide the scope for the existence of the regional agreements and the bilateral agreements. So these are very important initiatives. They, of course, coexist with the multilateral system, and they complement each other in a very significant way. In our view, the RTAs are blocks that help build the edifice of global trade rules and liberalization. But things have changed in the recent years. RTAs have grown much more rapidly since the WTO came into being compared to the days of the GATT. The WTO has notified to it about 253 RTAs, which are enforced today. On average, that means about 24 notifications a year since the formation of the WTO, and that is compared to just 3, which were notified during the GATT years. So this is a very considerable increase, and these agreements are not only more numerous, they are also much more complex than the ones that we had before. While 80% of the RTAs notified are bilateral agreements, we are seeing more and more larger regional agreements. And we are seeing more agreements also between countries in different regions rather than just between neighbors. And this is very different from the pattern that we saw during the GATT years. So, moreover, we see many more developing countries negotiating RTAs than we did before. And this proliferation of agreements, each with their own set of rules, has been dubbed as a spaghetti bowl. And I would certainly agree that we are seeing a significant increase in the level of complexity inside these agreements in the relationship with each other. Most regional trade agreements of today, they make deeper and more extensive commitments and have moved beyond commitments only market access in goods, which was the origin of these agreements. And the research by the Secretariat, based on RTAs notified since 2000, shows that around 60% of these RTAs contain commitments in both goods and services. Over half of the agreements notified contain rules on investment. Other issues such as provisions on government procurement, competition policy, SPS, TBT, trade defense measures, intellectual property rights, they also are found in about half of the RTAs notified. A smaller proportion also include other issues such as environmental or labor standards, electronic commerce, which are clearly not even covered by the WTO agreements. So a question which requires, I think, further consideration is how the RTA provisions can complementary to the multilateral trading system. And the papers that were presented today are an attempt to fill that gap precisely in our knowledge. The papers address similarities and differences between the provisions in RTAs and the WTO agreements. And as you saw, it is a very mixed picture. For some issues, such as market access in goods and services, most RTAs grant their partners a higher level of market access than that available through the WTO. For other issues, that picture is less straightforward. For example, RTA provisions on anti-dumping rules. In general, the RTAs do not appear to have gone much further than where we are today in the WTO. Similarly, for provisions on intellectual property rights, about half of all the RTAs examined simply reaffirm what we have in the WTO, in the TRIPS agreement. In other instances, for example, such in issues such as investment, which is touched on by some RTAs, we don't even have rules in the WTO for that. So although some RTAs have provisions on disputes, that's another point, most of the dispute settlement mechanisms provided are rarely used. Meanwhile, the level of activity in the WTO on dispute settlement is rising very rapidly. And one in five, that's 20%, of the disputes brought in the WTO involve parties who are also themselves part of an RTA. Another trend, which is also very interesting, noted in the past few years in negotiations, that could potentially bring together a number of RTA participants, include what we call or contemplate what we call these mega regional negotiations. And these negotiations aim to consolidate existing preferential relationships. So their potential effect on the overall level of complexity will be a topic for further research and analysis. Now, while the trend to negotiate new RTAs continues, liberalizing trade bilaterally is only, of course, part of the picture. As I have said many times, and those who have listened to statements and speeches that I made recently, those initiatives are important for the multilateral trading system, but they cannot substitute it. And I usually mention a number of factors. To start with, there are many big issues which can only be tackled efficiently in the multilateral context, in the WTO. Trade facilitation, for example, that we negotiated in Bali, was successfully concluded in the WTO because it simply makes no economic sense to cut red tape and simplify trade procedures at the border for one country or two. Once you do it for one country, you do it for everyone. And this is not the only issue which is inherently multilateral. Financial regulations, telecoms regulations, they usually would not be efficiently regulated or liberalized for just one trade partner. It is usually done across the board, so globally in the WTO. Farming subsidies or fishery subsidies, they can only be tackled multilaterally. You just don't see those subsidies being tackled bilaterally. Another example is trade remedies, such as the application of anti-dumping or countervailing duties. They cannot significantly go beyond the WTO disciplines. Now, the simple fact is that many of the challenges that we face today in the world can hardly be solved outside the multilateral trading system. These are global problems, and they require global multilateral solutions. Another important aspect to remember is that, leaving aside substance and the content of those agreements, Geographically speaking, the RTAs leave aside and exclude usually the smallest and the most vulnerable countries. And that in itself is a major source of concern. So as our economies become more and more interconnected across borders, the RTAs do not and probably cannot fully address the gains that trade can be obtained through the global value chains, for example. So indeed, the strict product-specific rules of origin which accompany the RTAs actually can be detrimental to global value chains and therefore are exclusionary for some. And the smaller the country, the smaller the trader, the smaller the company, the more excluded they are from these chains. There is another concern, which is by creating different sets of regulation in these regional trade agreements, that may actually end up being more burdensome to business than if you didn't have them. And this is the complexity point that I mentioned before, and there is a concern for many. So finally, although these initiatives show that WTO members continue to liberalize trade, fragmentation of the trading system cannot be a substitute for the benefits of negotiating rules for everyone. So ideally, that's where we should be putting our focus. But in order to ensure this, clearly one thing we need to do is begin to deliver what we agreed in Bali. We're now halfway through a process of intensive consultations, a period of intensive consultations to resolve the impasse which we face today. But as things stand at this point in time, we still don't have a solution. While the situation persists, I think the risk for the disengagement increases exponentially. And this point is underlined by the proliferation of these approaches which we just examined today. So for the sake of the multilateral trading system and all those who stand to benefit from it, in particular the smaller economies, I think we do have to find a solution to our current problems and put to work here at the WTO, get the WTO back on track. And we have to do it quickly. This is one of the instances where time is not on our side. So to conclude, I hope that today's meeting has given you the opportunity to look at some of these issues in more detail and provided you some food for thought. I hope it was a very interactive exercise. RTAs, like I said, are not new, but they are growing. They are spreading at an unprecedented rate, and it is clear that there remain some very considerable gaps in our knowledge about them. One fundamental point is that very little information exists on the benefits of the RTA preferences. So I cannot emphasize enough the importance of the WTO's transparency mechanism for RTAs. And I commend you for the important information that you have provided. It is precisely this information that enables the kind of research that you have seen presented today. The information, however, as usual, as always, is not complete. A number of RTAs that are in force have not yet been notified, so we need to fill that gap as well. Therefore, I hope that your continued cooperation through timely notifications of RTAs will help us address that issue as well. In this way, I think we all stand to gain with a better understanding of the impact of the RTAs that they have, how they work together, so amongst themselves, how they complement the multilateral trading system or not, and what that means for all of us. So it is with a deep sense of gratitude that I really come to you today. And thank you for everything that you have done. I can tell you, I can guarantee you that every time that I go to one country, and I have been doing quite a bit recently, not my desire, just have to, inevitably, every single time, be it at the press interview or when I'm meeting with the authorities, one question, I can get many, many different types of questions, my one question that I will always get is, what do the RTAs mean today? How would they impact the multilateral trading system? So you are dealing, you had a conversation today about the issue. And I'm very thankful that you are contributing to this discussion. There's a lot of ground to cover on this one. I appreciate the work of the Secretariat, Willie, his team, everybody else, and also the members and those who are contributing to this exercise. Thank you. Thank you really very much.